Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we have here in the studio with us David Talbert, Morgan graduate, award-winning playwright, filmmaker. Latest movie coming out is Baggage Claim. He's back in Baltimore. And used to be a host here on WEAA himself,
man,
right?
When I walk through here, I'm like, a lot has changed. Man.
It wasn't even here. It was across campus.
It was in Truth Hall, I think it was.
Little funky place in the...
Absolutely. This is a real radio station. Yeah, I had a talk show on here that in 86, wow, called We Hold These Truths. And part of the two-way talk here, and it was on Tuesdays and Thursdays, man, while I was here at Morgan.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. I come in here, man. Y'all got an operation going on in here. And it's white people on the air here, man. That's totally different.
I can leave.
No, Mark, I want you here. This is change we can believe in. When I was greeted by a white woman when I came in, I said, am I at the right place? And I'm at Morgan State University. Change we can believe in, Mark.
Well, it's good to meet you, man.
Hey, man, same here, man. Same here.
So you're coming back to Baltimore to bring us Baggage Claim.
Yes, sir.
Tell us, should we have that clip ready? They're putting on the clip now.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's my second feature film. And set here in Baltimore, because I just have, of course, an affinity towards the city. And it's about a flight attendant played by Paula Patton, who's got 30 days and 30,000 miles to find a husband.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny, isn't it? It's funny.
It looks very funny.
Yes. It's Paula Patton, Jill Scott, Taye Diggs, Jaimin Hansu.
Hey, you have Hansu.
He's
a serious actor.
Oh, man, he's serious. He's got a lot of depth, but he's just an elegant man.
And, what's he playing this?
He's playing a character named Quentin Jameson, who's a real estate mogul.
One of her former boyfriends?
Yeah, an international mogul who actually she had bumped into in first class in some of his travels, and they kind of reacquaint themselves with each other, so he could potentially be the one.
So this is a stewardess who has to find a husband, and she's looking among, they're setting her up to look among her, all of her exes.
Yeah. Right? Well, they said they don't have time to find anybody new to fall in love with, so they said, let's revisit someone old. So her friend Jill Scott and Adam Brody, who are best friend flight attendants, they say they're going to go through her phone book and find out when her exes are traveling in the next 30 days.
They can sneak through the records and know
absolutely.
They're traveling.
Absolutely.
Put her on the flight as
absolutely.
A stewardess.
And there you go.
The attendant, excuse me. Attendant,
absolutely.
Not stewardess.
Absolutely. Right. Flight attendants, exactly. Flight attendants. Yeah.
Almost made a mistake.
Right. And so she coincidentally bumps into these guys in seeing which one will ask her to marry him in these 30 days.
So now, let me take a step backwards for a moment. You graduated from Morgan.
Yes.
Were you in theater here at Morgan?
I was a marketing major.
A marketing major.
Who I tell you, it was a young lady. I was sitting in the student center, and me and my boy, Maurice Wilkinson, we were sitting in the student center, and she said, I overheard her say she was on the radio. And I'm like, what radio? She's like, we have a radio station, silly. And I'm like, where? And she said, you know, Truth Hall. And I said, you're on the radio? Because she was pretty airy. And she said, yeah. And I went back and told my boy, I said, if she's on the radio, we can get on the radio. So we went there that day and got on the radio.
But how did you go from being a marketing major at Morgan, graduating in what, 86? 89. So go from that to becoming a playwright, because you started out as a playwright, right?
Yeah.
How did that even begin?
But when I was here, I just got a bug for what, you know, you're doing. You do it much better than I was doing it then, but we were just, you know, we were aspirational at the time. But anyway, I got the bug, and then we started DJing here, and then I worked at V103.
Uh-huh.
I got an internship there with Tim Watts, who's like my uncle.
Oh, yeah, right.
And Frank Ski was interning with them, and then got a job over at DJ 100 in D.C. as a radio announcer my senior year. And when I graduated, I just wanted to get out of town, so they transferred me to a sister station, KSOL, in the Bay Area. And after about a year out there, someone gave me tickets to see a play. And I was watching the play, and people were just laughing you know, falling on top of each other. And I'm like, this isn't really that funny to me. And I said, if people are laughing at this, I know I could probably do something better. And I went home that night and started writing my first play.
Which was a lot of
called, mercy? No, it was called Telling It Like It Is.
Telling It Like It Is, yeah.
And we opened it up at in Berkeley, California at a 300-seat theater and ran it for like 18 sellout shows in a row. And a national promoter came in to see it and took us on the road. And that's how I became, you know, touring the plays.
So, and so that, so you didn't study writing, but it's something
no.
you just felt that can
no, you. No, well, I had fallen in love with a young lady here at Morgan State, and I, one summer I asked her to marry me, and she said, I called her on the phone, I said, because she was a different city, I said, will you marry me? And she says, I'll call you back. So I said to her, I said, wow. So a couple days went by and I said, you know, I'm wondering, do you want to get married? And she said, I'll call you back. So she hung on the phone and I just started writing poetry and listening to Al Green's How Can You Mend a Broken Heart and writing poetry. And finally, one day, the Al Green song scratched. And so I just stopped and looked at the poems, and I said, these things aren't that bad. And I said, oh, my goodness. And then I just started writing some other stories and things, and she wasn't an issue anymore, and I had discovered that I could write. And that's why most of my stories are relationship stories, because I started from affairs of the heart.
So does your writing come from a place where you kind of hang out, listen to people, what they say, it stays with you?
Yes.
And
yes.
You take notes as people are saying
and
put those into your
I'm the
pieces.
Worst person you want to have a conversation with.
Because now you probably have a recorder going on right now.
No. I remember it, but my wife's girlfriends get upset all the time because all their stories end up in my plays.
Not with their names. They don't.
No. We change the names to protect
the names.
Guilty. Yeah. But that's where I get, you know, slices of everyday life, you know.
You're still married to that same woman.
Absolutely.
I can
absolutely,
see the ring.
Absolutely.
There
yeah.
You go.
Yeah. She hadn't traded me in yet.
Not yet.
You know, every 7 years you have to re-up. So we've been married 15 years. So we're re-up twice.
Congratulations.
Yeah. She just gave me a beautiful baby boy, 8-month-old boy.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm close to 50. You got to concentrate on making a baby close to 50. You got to want to make a baby. You just can't stumble on it.
You're now the fifth man I know in his 50s and 60s who just had babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it is an interesting process.
So what was the play that really made it for you? Was it Love in the Nick of Time? Is that the one that kind of made people, across the board, kind of look up and go, whoa?
It was probably a play called He Say, She Say, But What Does God Say, which starred Kirk Franklin.
Oh, yes, right.
Because
right.
that was a
that
big
toured.
Shot. Yeah, that was a big shot. And then it was a play called Mr. Right Now and His Woman, His Wife, that had Malik Yoba. But as far as acclaim or awards, it was The Fabric of a Man was that play. And then you know, they kind of have been building and building and building. And now we put them on television. I record them, and they run on BET every Sunday. So now it's like, you know, 300,000 people before would see a play live. Now, on the first airing, 1.5 million people
wow.
see it. So, I mean, you know.
So you move from that. It's not always easy for a playwright to become a screenwriter and then
No, because they oppose one another. You know, plays tell the story and film shows the story.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's the transition was learning the technical medium for me. And then as a director of theater, you're directing a proscenium. You know, it's a master shot. You know, basically in a film, you have to get into the soul of the scene and different angles. So you know, you just have to learn a different kind of skill set, which took a minute.
So on the business side, was it tough to kind of make that transition, say, yes, I know I have these plays, I've directed these things, I've written these things, people love our work, we're making a living at it, but now I want to make a movie?
Well, it's always, you know, challenging because when you go to Hollywood and say, I want to make a movie, you're asking someone to put really $20 million at least, at the very least, if it's a moderately budgeted film, which is if you're spending $10 million for the movie, they're going to spend another $10 million in advertising it. So you're basically, when you hand them your script, you're saying, at the very least, trust me with $20 million of your money.
Right.
And so when you think of it like that, a lot of people say, well, it's, you know, why is it so hard? Why they don't make more movies? Well, they have to look at you and read the material and trust that you can make a profit on what they're going to invest in you.
So this movie, this the first one you made.
First Sunday.
Right, yeah. First Sunday. Another comedy.
Uh-huh.
Very funny movie.
Very
you
funny.
Had some, you had a serious cast.
Oh, man. Cat Williams and Tracy Morgan was doing stand-up comedy every day. Every day he would come and he would say, Dave Talbert! He would rub his stomach and say, somebody's going to get pregnant today. That's what he would say. Every day. And if a pretty woman came on the set, he would say, oh, Dave Talbert, she's going to get pregnant today.
So he's a goof come naturally. This is not a put on.
Is who he is. 24. We were at Benihana's. I just said, Tracy, come on, let's go out and have some dinner and hang out. He says, all right. So as soon as the chef is a female chef and, you know, she's chopping up the food. And so he says, oh, I like the way you chop up the food. Do you want to get pregnant tonight?
I mean, his stuff is like so, it's still funny, but it's so adolescent.
It is. And Tracy is a big kid. You know, Tracy is a big kid, but he is just one of the best guys you ever want to meet.
But this movie that you just made, Baggage Claim, is it more of a grown-up comedy?
Completely. Absolutely. Yeah, First Sunday was an inner-city comedy, a coming-of-age comedy with two guys, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a comedy, you know, where this is a comedy. You're laughing the whole time, but this is a romantic comedy, so we're dealing with affairs of the heart, and it's a warmer and fuzzier piece. It's I'm a fan of the Nora Ephron classics, Sleepless and You Got Mail and When Harry Met Sally, and I was always drawn to the magic in those movies, and I wanted to recreate that with this movie.
So, and you have an incredible cast. I've not seen the movie. I've only seen the trailer, but the trailer looked like...
It's fun.
It looks like...
It's a lot of fun, and it looks like...
I'm sorry, we wanted to play the trailer, but we can't seem to get the sound thing to work across. You got it? Do I have time to play some of the trailer? Let's play some of this, and we'll come right back.
My relationships have never been cleared for takeoff, but at least I'm not the only one in my family not to be married.
We have some news.
I'm engaged.
I can't go to my little sister's wedding single.
If you need a man, honey, I can get you one of those.
It's not a man I need. It's a husband or a potential husband in a month.
Why don't you marry Gail? If she goes a week without waxing her mustache, they'll think it's Steve Harvey.
Look, it's not like she's got enough time to meet somebody new, so why not revisit somebody else?
For the next few weeks, any of your exes that flies anywhere at any time, we're gonna know.
That's right. There's Tanya in ticketing.
Calvin at curbside check-in.
And there's Cedric in security.
Take everything out your pockets. I need your pockets out your pockets.
You got 30 days and 30,000 miles.
I want you to have these cranberry flavored for the holidays.
So, just a little flavor.
Yeah,
of the
Jill Scott's funny. She's sexy in this movie. She's sexy. We haven't seen Jill Scott like this. You know, she's usually playing maybe romantically distressed characters. And this character was
That's right.
And this character was sexy. And so I said, when Jill said she wanted to play it, I said, well. I haven't seen, Jill's earthy and things, and so Jill came in, I said, you know, Jill, this character shows a lot of cleavage, and Jill says, I got cleavage, how much you want? So I said, I knew right then, I said, this is my girl right here, and Jill lets him have it in this movie.
So I have to ask you a serious question about this. There's some people critique, and I've seen some critiques, saying that it's demeaning when the role of a filmmaker who is black, I hate black filmmakers, a filmmaker who is black, does comedies, does these things that laugh, quote unquote, at ourselves, that make fun.
It's demeaning when a filmmaker who's black does comedies.
You've heard that before.
Well, that does comedies, that does what?
That they say, but people say poke fun at our own people.
Well, because I'm not saying, because that's what, I mean, Neil Simon does that. And I mean, Neil Simon is one of my heroes of writing. Certainly, someone I look up his plays. And Larry David does that. And so every, you know, Carlos Mencia does that, and George Lopez does that, and Richard Pryor did that so masterfully. And I think every culture is, they identify with the nuances and specificities of their experience. And so they twist that experience and put a comedic spin on it. And that's why it starts with that specific culture, and then it expands to become mainstream. And I think people that have a cultural point of view, it makes the comedy that much more authentic.
Now, how tough is it for an African-American writer, producer, director to get work funded and started like you did with your two films? How difficult is that?
Well, you know, it's
or is
it's challenging for anybody to get a movie made. You know, and not just black directors or any director, because again, you're asking the studio to invest millions, tens of millions of dollars.
A lot of money.
And so when you're talking about, say, if you were doing a mainstream white movie, well, there's more theaters, there's more pockets of people, there's more places that movie could potentially play. And when you're dealing with an African-American themed movie, then there are a lesser number of places that it can play. So, you know, so it becomes a little bit more challenging. But again, I'm always a believer that a good story is a good story is a good story. And just like I love the Nora Ephron classics, and there were no black people in those in Sleepless in Seattle. Maybe there are no black people in Seattle. I don't know. I've never been there. But or maybe they weren't asleep. I don't know.
Or maybe they were walking asleep.
Maybe they were walking in, which is a different movie.
It's a different movie.
Right. But I love the movie because it was a good movie. And that's what Baggage right. Claim is. It just is a good movie.
I can't wait. So tell me, so you're here in Baltimore because you're showing the film where and when?
I'm showing, doing a special screening for the students tonight. And then I'm speaking at 2 o'clock at the Student Center in the theater doing a book signing because it was a novel that
good.
I wrote
yeah.
first.
Right.
So I'm doing signing some novels and doing a Q&A and talking to the students about the entertainment business.
Great. Did I see something? You're doing something with the Maryland Film Festival too, or does that not
with which
the Maryland Film Festival?
No. Okay. We're doing we're opening up in New York at the Urban World Film Festival this Thursday, and then our premiere for the movie is next Wednesday in Los Angeles.
And we're going to be linking to the site on our website steinershow.org and linking to where this thing is going to be playing in our metropolitan D.C. Baltimore area, so y'all can see the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm jealous of your voice because a good theater voice is good. You could tear up some Shakespeare, couldn't you?
I love Shakespeare.
Yeah,
I love Shakespeare.
Yeah,
like we're talking about that last over the weekend.
Yeah.
This is all the Shakespeare happening in New York now. It's,
absolutely,
it's popping up everywhere.
All the actors that movie actors they want to go there to New York, and
but
I
need to laugh. And seeing people make people laugh is equally as important.
It's equally as important.
Gotta have laugh.
Yeah.
Let me just read this quote. I know we have to go because we have another guest standing by, but. This is one of your quotes I'm going to leave people with. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't compare myself as an artist with anyone else, Tyler Perry included. I just do my thing. Sometimes the critics lump everyone together, and that's where the danger is. And I think it's unfair. Everybody has their own expression of their art, but I don't do my art for the critics. I do it for my audience. At the end of the day, it's the standing ovations, the cheers, the applause, and smiles on people's faces when they leave the theater that matter to me. That response is my 5-star approval and Tony Award, all wrapped in one. David Talbert, good luck on this movie, Baggage Claim.
Man, thank you. And I want to come by and hang out with you some more.
I'd love it.
This is
a
great interview, man. Great interview. I appreciate you.
I appreciate this, too. And I can't wait to see the whole movie.
Thank you. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Because my wife and I love to laugh.
Oh, she'll laugh a lot.
Got to laugh.
Yeah, you got to.
David, thank you. MSU grad, making
films. Morgan State.
Yes,
Morgan
indeed.
State. I was on a 10-year plan.
There you go.
I got out 5 years early. I planned to be here 10 years, but I got out in 5.
What people don't understand when they criticize places like Morgan, they say students take all this time to get out. What people forget, the kids that go to school here are working class kids. They have to take a time off. They work.
Mm-hmm,
they graduate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Takes a little bit more time.
And sometimes you're just not that bright. You know?
I did not want to say that.
Yeah. My mama said, oh, boy, bless his heart. It's going to take him 10 years, baby, but he's going to get out. And I surprised her. 5 years
five.
Made mama proud.
See there? David Talbert, thank you, brother.
My man.
We're going to talk Republicans and politics coming up. Don't go away. Yeah. Come round by my side, and I'll sing you a song.